You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. Is there anything better than cracking open a cold beer and listening to your favorite podcasts? No, sir, and I'm here to tell you that the beer you should be cracking is one from our new sponsor, Circle Brewing, located in Austin, Texas at 2340 West Breaker Lane, Suite B. You can have a frosty one in their fabulous tap room where lots of seasonal specials await you, or you can get lots of their treats in the bottle or can at your local craft beer retailer. Try their award-winning Alibi Blonde or their diabolically rich Devil Knight Barrel Age Stout. They have so many solid choices, and they are the official sponsor of OneOfUs.net. Support Circle Brewing and support us, and we really need your support. There is no site without subscribers, and that depends on you. Please think about becoming a subscriber, because we cannot do this without you. The four different subscription tiers are there to give different flavors of bonus content, but we absolutely need your help, whether you sign up to give $2, $5, $10, or $25 a month. Don't be one of those people who loves something but won't lift a finger to keep it around. Help one of us and keep those podcasts coming.
It is a time of great darkness, a time of sorrow, a time of despair. Gotham is coming to a freaking end, man. I can't take it.
Ah. Now, Justin, just do your breathing exercises like we planned.
Okay.
Eat some ham. It's fine. It'll be fine.
But who's got the ham?
Actually, we have ham, Nick. Nick, who has got ham?
So much ham that needs to be got.
Yes. Yeah, so, hey, everybody. This is our podcast, The Final Days of Gotham. We are doing a week-to-week recap of each episode of the final season leading up to the series finale. Wow, I can't believe we made it this far. 5 seasons for this show.
I can't believe I had to write notes about Gotham.
Well, you know, it's funny, like people would say, like, oh yeah, Gotham has, like, usually really low ratings, like, at least the last couple seasons have, like, barely a million episodes at its peak, a million viewers, but for some reason, it's just got a rabid fan base who, like, watch it on Netflix. They'll catch up on it on other stuff. They you know, repost about it all the time. It's kind of a weird, like, gem for how insanely crazy the show is.
Cult followings are a thing for a reason.
So, yeah, then, who is on the microphone here for this podcast? Well, it's me, Justin Zarian, the guy who seems to be everywhere on this website. I know, I'm sorry, you can't get rid of me. But yes, I am here, and I love Gotham, so I have no apologies whatsoever. But who do I have here? Well, it's my buddies from the Unapologetic Geek Out podcast. We got the Merc with the Mic himself, Nick Tice. How are you doing?
That's me. I'm fighting off a cold right now, but I'm doing it right. I just get a little fear toxin out of my esophagus a little bit. Oh my goodness! I'm seeing my worst nightmares. It's the Mrs. Applebaum is in my third grade class, and in my pants. Where are they, Travis? Help
Nick,
me!
I will not
we
help you.
We can satisfy
pants.
This. Just open the door.
Oh man, nah. Your mask, your makeup is so bad. Why can't they get your costume right?
Well, then also over here we got the God of the Pod himself, Travis.
Hey, I'm so glad that moniker has stuck. I'm just so happy with that one.
I love
it. Dude, ever since I started recording to you guys, it's always been the God of the Pod. God.
You've been God of the Pod longer than you haven't been.
I don't think that's true. We have been doing this for a while, and the God of the Pod only started when we started doing Stand Against Evil, so.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. But, yes, so anyways, we've been excited to cover this season, and here we are, the first episode of Season 5, The Legend of the Dark Knight, as it's being titled, which this episode is Year Zero, which, of course, that means they're definitely pushing this to be the origins of Batman after, I'm just glad that they're out of Mopey Bruce phase, because, man, that was a drag to get through Season 4.
Yeah, but we've kind of switched it to Mopey Selena instead.
Well, we'll get to that, because I actually kind of like the way at least it was being played, even though it's like, okay, this better not last longer than a few episodes.
Right.
Who knows in Gotham, though? But anyways, so this episode was directed by Danny Cannon, who, he's been a executive producer for the show since the beginning, more or less, and then he also directed some of the other season premieres, including Pax Penguina last season, so.
Gotham always knows how to kind of pull you in with his premieres, that's for sure. They know what they're doing that part.
And he definitely pulls you in with the premiere here, because we start off with this very, like, arty, slow sequence where we got all the characters suiting up, you know, very classic style. You see all of them in their, like, getting their costumes on, getting their iconic weapons or whatever. And then you see, like, Penguin, Riddler, Gordon and Bullock all teaming up together to fight off a horde of bad guys over a wall outside. Which, by the way, this episode will be, or this review will be full of spoiler stuff, so be warned, sure. Everybody. Yeah,
yeah, but then
this is literally the beginning sequence. You realize, oh, it's a flash forward to day 391 of the whole No Man's Land barricade.
They're walking all together in slow-mo, and they have Jim Gordon goes, for Asgard, I mean Gotham! And Travis,
for Narnia.
What do I love? What do I love, Travis?
You love it when they're walking together in a line.
I fucking, you bet, goddamn I do. Why? Because it looks fucking rad.
Except for Penguin in the background limping behind them.
Well, they can't all look badass.
It was kind of a good opening scene, you know? It sets up the tension.
Oh,
although
yeah.
It's also...
Speaking of goddamn, I was hard. Like, I was like, yes, this is exactly how we should start this.
Oh, yeah. No, it was a big explosive scene. I was surprised because I thought we were going to have to wait a while for that part in the trailer. So, I mean, because I was from the trailer. We were going to have to wait for that to happen in the show. It's like, no,
well,
first thing...
It's interesting when they start No Man's Land because it's a storyline that is depicted by a bunch of people fighting for territory. And so that's going to be the main storyline. So to depict what's happening at the end, which a bunch of these people banding together to fight another threat, is interesting in the fact that, oh, what's going to happen to make these guys... team up to with one another, like people that have tried to kill each other on multiple occasions are now going to be teaming up at some point.
Especially
I'm very
after the way this episode ends,
right?
Oh yeah,
I was almost curious because like there, I suppose wondering if it was an outside force attacking them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what it seems to be setting up, but yeah, we'll get to that part in just a second. But yeah, more or less, as Nick was saying, the arc is kind of laid out even just by Jim Gordon at the very beginning, just like yeah, we got. All these different territories controlled by all these different gangs, and we have to get, you know, we have, like, literally, we control this 10-block radius right around the police station. So we have to find a way to coordinate everybody to take out the major gang leaders, because especially the government freaking just sucks in this universe.
Yeah.
They literally do nothing to help these people.
No, it's rather terrifying, because we have penguins in City Hall, Barbara's got the her Sirens Club, and then Jeremiah's just missing.
Man, that has me super nervous. I'd be less nervous if he was out and about causing chaos.
Mm-hmm.
But him not
yeah, the
being
fact that,
him not being there is really nerve-wracking to me.
The fact that he could be around for 81 days where no one's heard about him by the time this, you know, the flash forward ends and they go back to the current quote-unquote point.
Yep.
You know, mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, I'm a little nervous for them as well. But yeah, like, I think they established that, like, yeah, we got 150 people in this building alone who we're taking care of, and we don't know how many people are out there in the city just fending for themselves. So it's pretty freaking desperate. And I gotta say, that's a great way to raise the stakes for the season as a whole, the way they set up everything to start off this story.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I guess, I mean, among the major things that I did find interesting, because one of the bigger arcs, well, I mean, kind of a mini arc here, is Scarecrow attacks him at one point. Where he, you know, waltz right in pretty much and steals, you won't believe it, he steals their beans, guys.
How dare you.
Well, it's been a half an episode before the, into the last season, and the police station hasn't gotten attacked, and it just felt wrong.
Yeah.
So.
They wasted like, no time this season.
I'm just surprised that it was Scarecrow attacking them first.
Sure. And you gotta figure, it's like, oh no, is the police station being attacked for the 17th time? Oh no. Way to raise the stakes, guys.
Now, I know that you were not crazy about this costume, at least for this current version of the season, right, Nick?
I have never been crazy about Scarecrow's costume. I don't think they've ever gotten it right.
They keep changing it.
They keep changing it to try and get it better. This is the best it's ever looked. It's still not great. I like the hat. I like the hat. The mouth is still fucked up. There's something about the mouth that doesn't work. And
yeah, especially when you see it with like the crazy visual effects stuff, when he gasses that one dude, and like the mouth's bulging out through the seams, kind of thing. It's like, ugh.
He looks it looks really silly. Like, and even on a show for Gotham, it looks like this feels like I can't take you seriously as a threat.
Like, it's almost as silly as Bruce's first Batman costume last season.
Yeah, with that weird helmet thing he was wearing. Yeah, like you realize like they only used that for two episodes for a reason, right? Is it because it looks kind of funny?
Yeah, the fans unanimously complained about how dumb that looked, so it was just like, yeah, maybe we should hold off on that.
Although, to be fair, in the not-taking-him-serious part, like, he does confront Jim, and he's like, do you want to waste a bullet on me? I'm like, You know, I probably would, just because you got, like, that fucking scythe and it's fear gas toxin. I'm like, I'd probably just shoot him.
Yeah, I'd take a shot at him.
Yeah, it might actually do some good in the long run, just saying. But, yeah, so they get involved, they steal that and a bunch of medicine, but they also get apprehended at one point because, you know, wouldn't you know it, Bruce is out and about with this so obviously, like, tactical leather armor. I'm just surprised that no one's going to figure out he's Batman from the get-go when he actually starts showing up.
You have to figure some people are going to know he's Batman from the jump, and one of those people has to be Lucius Fox.
Oh, easily.
Is definitely going to have to know, like, yeah.
Well, Lucius knows because he gave him the stuff last season.
He's the one supplying him with the tech, and you'd figure Jim is going to pretty much have to know
he's
at some point.
He's not an idiot.
Otherwise, he's the worst cop in the world.
we know Jim's not the smartest man in the world, but come on, it's literally right in front of your face.
Also, he doesn't even have a mask. Bruce is just running around Gotham without a mask on, kicking the shit out of people in this episode.
More or less, the only thing he had was, like, that night vision goggle he was wearing in the beginning.
It's not like people don't know him. You'd think a couple people on the squad were like, hey, Jim, why was the billionaire playboy kid helping you out with that ammunition?
And I just imagine Jim just going, like, just let him be. Just let him think he's doing smart.
That's kind of how he's treating him right now. Just like, oh, that's just Bruce. Don't worry about it.
He's our mascot.
Well, which I do like that, at least, like I said, we got no more mopey Bruce like last season. He's actually being proactive in the story. And I think that's when the character works better, is when he's actually, you know, taking initiative to try and resolve things in the plot. I mean, all characters do that in general, but it's nice to see Bruce kind of more in his element in this in this episode. Although he's not fully in his element, because the other running, like, background emotional arc throughout this is him trying to help Selina, who is very paralyzed after being shot by Joker last season.
Yeah, and apparently has gone, like, 87 days without, like, significant surgery.
See, this was interesting, because when I was down at Comic-Con, I did an interview with the actress that plays Selina, and I had not seen the episode, because they showed a preview of the episode, and I didn't see it, and I was confused, because last season it looked like she got out of the city. But apparently that's not the case. She and Alfred did not get out.
I'm assuming that means that they decided to stay too. Yeah, I wasn't clear about that. Like, is Bruce traveling outside the city, or is he just...
Was I the only one from the last season finale thinking that Bruce said, I'll be here when you wake up, and then he's decides to stay, and then they go.
Yeah, that's,
and I'm like,
that's what I thought.
He broke his promise. That'll be a contention between them later. And then he he's with her. I think they might have changed that around at the very end, because it looked like they were setting that up, and I think they might have changed that at the last minute for whatever reason.
Could be.
Yeah. She's really depressed,
and I can't... This is one of those things in the world where I'm like, yeah, it's kind of a bummer that you can't walk, but in a world where death seems kind of a hindrance every once, like a mild annoyance, you figure that, like,
would you really want to risk it?
Like, you know, maybe I'll just go and find one of the doctors that can just bring me back to life with superpowers this time, or whatever. Like,
there seems to be more than one way to skin a cat in this case. So, yeah, you can look around, you'll find someone who can resurrect you with some crazy practical homemade device. So.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I will say, as much as, like, yeah, she's getting mobile mopey and that kind of stuff, it actually did get to me a little bit, because it's like, wow. You know, I've always thought that, I think her name is Carmen Bitakova, who's the actress who plays her. I thought that she's kind of fluctuated, Cameron. Yeah, Cameron Bitakova. She flexes weights between being a good actress and being kind of, she's okay. But I actually thought she was really, really good this episode. Like, trying to actually sell the emotional struggle of the character.
She does a lot with the little that she gets, because they only have a certain amount of screen time for her. And you got to figure, with the way Selina is and valuing her freedom more than anything else, being trapped in this hospital bed for... How long has it been?
87 days.
87 days?
Yeah,
that's probably worn on her for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So, like...
Yeah, you're looking at, like, 2+ months of just being bedridden.
Yeah, and I suppose most people would be depressed at this point, and, someone who values their freedom and mobility as much as she does probably is even more so.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, that's why I sympathized with her, where it's like, yeah, okay, she's mopey, but based on how we know the character, it kind of made sense in that context. Yeah. No, so we got that. Let's see, what else we got here?
Ed is the only one who apparently has not carved out any territory of, like, the big major villains we have.
Yeah,
it's Ed.
He's
of course
still
he has
fucking with himself.
Well, yeah. I love that he's never been a ringleader, to be sure, anyway. He's always been kind of a sub-boss to somebody else.
True.
He's always been either with Lee or Penguin. So it's not surprising to me that he's not got his shit together, and he has been resurrected by Strange in whatever way. I love that he's rocking the Tobey Maguire emo Spider-Man 3 look.
And... I was going to say, he looks so much like Joseph Gordon-Levitt right now with that hair. So I'm just like from 500 Days of Summer. I'm just like, oh, wow.
And I love that it's like Riddler is still yelling at Ed, like Ed is trying to, he thinks Ed is operating while he's sleeping and is waking up in strange places. And that could go anywhere. Like, because with Strange waking him up, it could be Ed that's in charge when he's sleeping. Maybe a whole new personality.
Heck, maybe it's fucking Lee for all we know.
Like, we have no idea. Like, do you think he surgically implanted Lee inside of Riddler's, like, mind?
Sure.
Like, aha, I could only save one of your bodies and one of your brains, so now Lee's brain is inside your body.
Would it really surprise you?
No, nothing would.
Freaking crazy show.
And then we're going to use that actress again, but as a hallucination.
Well, you know Lee is coming back.
Oh, like, yeah.
There's no way they're not using her again.
Yeah, it kind of helps when your husband's one of the main stars in the show, so... Yeah. I will say, though, too, the Riddler stuff... I know it's going somewhere, but it was weird that it kind of ended up being a nothing thing in this episode. Where it's like, yeah, we get a few scenes.
They're just reminding you he exists in this episode.
Right.
Like, there's nothing else to it. Like,
yeah.
It is a weird scene, though, because, like, so much of Gotham is a montage scene where it's like, oh, look, we're going to pair these characters up for this scene, that it is just weird seeing Riddler by himself, not even talking, like, there's not even another Riddler on screen. You don't see Ed and Riddler, which we see quite often in
the
series.
You know what? It's right. It's where we get to see him all alone. Because even he usually has even himself to bounce off of, weirdly enough. This show's weird to talk about.
No, but that's the thing, too. It's like where it's... It's weird because, like, the only other person he interacts with is that freaking hobo he meets later on. I'm just like, okay, at least it's some companion. But then also, one of the big things that happens this episode is the stuff with the food. Because that's a major plot line where it's like, okay, so we literally got, like, maybe a week's worth of food if we ration on half ration. So that's really what provoked Scarecrow to attack in the first place. That's what's
resources have been divvied up, and it seems like...
Gotham's a resource management game now.
The Sirens have the food.
Yep.
Penguin has the manufacturing plant for bullets, so he has the ammo.
And the police department has the people?
Well, they have refugees and people. I'm wondering who controls water. Like, who has water here? Like, that's probably a big resource.
Yeah, but so that's a major thing where they can't bring in food because the government are douchebags, essentially, in this universe, but as they always are. But
I was going to say, this universe?
Well, to be fair, if I'm the government and I'm like, oh, we'll fly a chopper, and I'm like, yeah, you can find someone else to fly a chopper in there. I ain't going anywhere near that fucking place.
No, I'd probably bomb the place, honestly.
Like, no, seriously, like, how many times has this city been on the brink of destruction, and they're just like, okay, like, this is what, I'm surprised they actually put their foot down, just going, nope, nobody's going into that freaking hellhole, so.
I mean, I'm surprised they haven't, like, just wiped it off the face of the map and just called it a day, like.
Yeah, like, disguised a, supply drop ship as, like, a bomber, like.
Oh no, the Joker detonated a dirty bomb, what a bummer.
Gotham's dead.
Yeah,
that's
so...
too bad.
Wait, I mean, I got... He's dead. Everyone's dead.
No, but so that's the major source of conflict in the third act, especially, is where Bruce flies in a supply copter, which that poor pilot, immediately right when he starts getting to the city, he gets shot down by a random RPG.
Oh, you knew they were fucked.
Yeah.
You knew as soon as they entered the airspace, they were fucking screwed.
Yeah, but so yeah, it causes a conflict where also that poor gang that just found the supplies first and was like, oh, the little boys, huh? They're gonna be a big part of the story, right? Nope.
Well, I'm surprised more people didn't show up, because you'd figure everyone in the city would have seen that and would have been like, oh, okay, we want to go and figure out at least what that is.
Yeah, but you gotta imagine enough of them probably recognized Penguin's car.
Oh, okay.
They're like, yeah, he's the one with all the guns.
All the
I don't really want to fuck with that.
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah, so yeah, Penguin guns down this other gang, and then Barbara comes in, and the police come in. And there's a huge standoff, and the big thing that happens this episode, during their ensuing conflict, Tabitha dies.
Yeah, I love this setup, too, of the bullet that she saves for him, like the bullet he delivers over as a misfire. I love that. Penguin is saved by his own incompetence.
Yep.
That's amazing to me.
That's happened more than once this show.
And can we give a round of applause to Robin Lord motherfucking Taylor on, like, this shit? Because, oh my god.
Penguin is still probably a favorite character.
Yeah, Penguin is amazing. Like, him giving the, complaining about, like, oh, well, I can't give my men the food while eating that fucking steak. And then giving it to the dog.
Yeah, complaining it's overdone and throwing it to his dog.
Oh, man. Jeez. There's no such thing as too big for Penguin. There's never a day on set where they're like, is that too much? No. One ever said that ever. Like, and I love it.
He's great.
And even when the gun goes off, he's like, that's hilarious. And he goes into
I'm
the
gonna
stab.
Have to talk to my foreman. Like,
yeah, no, and he just full on stabs her in the chest right in front of Barbara too, which, oh boy, that's gonna cause some conflict.
Well, I love this, too, because, like, at the beginning when, like, Penguin had sent his, like, manservant to Barbara, Barbara in, like, her club was being the sensible one for once, which was terrifying.
Yeah, I know. You don't imagine Barbara being the not crazy one in the scenario.
Like, well, when you become the leader of a League of Assassins, you have to have a little sense.
Yeah.
And it did show that in the previous season, it showed that she cared enough about Tabitha to sacrifice her own demon head in order to save Tabitha.
Mm-hmm.
So there is there was a caring there that we, hadn't realized.
That's kind
before.
Of surprise.
Also, I was not shocked when Tabitha died because her story arc was done when Butch was done.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So, no, they needed some incentive to show like there are real stakes and, you know, kind of thinning out the herd more or less in this
story.
Well,
Tabitha is one of those characters that's been around for a long time but isn't really a canon character. And so she's pretty easily expendable, but feels like a bigger loss.
Well, just because she's in a lot of it.
Because
she's
been in a lot more of it, yeah.
Yeah, because it's funny, because I didn't like her much at all when the show started, but I kind of grew to like her over time. So at least, yeah, she was expendable, but when she went, I'm just like, aw. But yeah, I hope she stays dead too, because it's like, yeah, the thing we really need right now is real stakes for this final season. And I think, at least in the beginning here, they're starting to really sell it, where it's like, yeah, there's actual tension and actual things that could happen to these characters before the series finale happens.
Well, there's only so many episodes left. I feel like any deaths now are kind of for realsies. Mm-hmm. Like, they're for keeps. Like,
yeah, because I think we only have 12 episodes this season, by looking on IMDb. So
there's just not a whole lot of time for any fake-outs anymore.
Right.
None of those, they're on the brink of death, can they make it? Or
also, I do appreciate that they only showed the characters that we knew were going to survive all the way to the end in the intro.
Right.
For,
like yeah, who we're going to keep these guys.
Like, Jim, Harvey, Penguin, and Riddler, like, okay, these guys are going to survive most of this.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, okay, yeah, those were smart characters to show the flash forward so that we can kind of still guess on some of these people to die. But those were the safest characters to begin with anyway.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, so at the point there, he kills Tabitha. Gordon shoots Penguin in the leg, which he was super freaking pissed at.
God, that was funny.
Because we saw that whole thing of him fixing up his leg, yep. too. And I love that Jim shoots him in the leg, and Travis and I were watching together, and Travis was like, Jim, that was cold, dude.
That was your friend, kind of.
That was your frenemy.
Yeah, and then even Harvey's just like, dude, just deal with it. You shot him. You had to, you know?
Well, Harvey was like, why didn't you put him down? Like, just take him out for the rest of us. And I was kind of like, because it was kind of funny.
Yeah. And to be fair, like, Penguin is one of those people that's like, if he's going to stab you, it's going to be in the front.
Well, if you are working in a place like this and where Gotham is a no man's land, you want to keep people around that you can deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And you can deal with Penguin as long as you have leverage. You can't deal with people like Jeremiah or Harley Quinn or Scarecrow. Those are people that you can't reason with.
Yeah.
So,
although Penguin looks like he's going to be pretty unreasonable for a bit. He's like, I want Jim Gordon dead.
Oh, he's always like that. He'll get over it.
I'm sure. Jim will ask him for another favor and everything will go fine.
Yeah.
I love this version of Penguin too, is that it's these... When I was interviewing Robin Lord Taylor at Comic Con, it's his favorite version of Riddler to play, which is the climb.
The Penguin.
The Penguin. It's the climb Penguin, where he's rising to the top.
Mm.
He's not quite at the top yet, but he's on the rise there, and he's scrapping and doing all he can, all these dirty deals to get on the top. And I love the scheming Penguin. Because I feel like once he gets on top, he gets he gets lazy.
Yeah.
And he kind of like succumbs to his own
hubris.
Hubris, yeah. So he's always the more threatening when he's on the rise rather than when he's on top.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. It's going to be fun to see that. And then, yeah, Barbara wants a penguin's head because he killed Tabitha. Apparently, thankfully, they actually did get the food for the civilians at the police, so they're all good. But now, uh-oh, there's a new threat across the river, which, okay, so this is going to be interesting. So this little boy who apparently made it through all the way to that center district there, he's like, oh, they're...
Yeah, through, like, multiple snipers, they even said.
Yeah, which, yeah, he's like, oh, they're killing us over there. And now it's like, oh, we got to assemble the people to go out there. So I'm pretty sure I know what the answer is to this. So there's only two people it could be that are attacking these people. It's either, you know, based on the people they announced earlier this season, the mutant gang or Bane, or both, I'm assuming, so.
Right. Or I guess it could be some other characters that they might not have announced or other, because they haven't been above, like, introducing new characters. But I feel like for a season like this...
It's kind of an endgame season.
Yeah, you'd figured you want to use some of your bigger guns.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, so that's going to be interesting to see how they deal with that. And I think that's the gist of what happened this episode. Was there any major things that I missed? Or
Well, we did forget to mention that Selena does try to commit suicide.
Oh, right.
And there's this mysterious nurse.
The nurse.
That keeps mentioning a witch.
Yeah, she mentions a witch.
she might as well have done, like, the hint, hint, wink, wink kind of thing to Bruce.
who do you think she's...
The witch.
Who do you think she's referring
to? Poison Ivy.
Poison Ivy?
Probably.
Ivy, that would be
She hasn't shown up yet, so that's what my guess
is. That would have been my guess, too.
There was a thought in the back of my mind that said Lee, but we haven't seen if Lee's even still alive or exactly the whole, but it's like, yeah, it's probably Poison Ivy then.
Hmm. Lee could be given healing powers. That might be kind of neat with her weird super
Although
abilities.
Going from a doctor to a witch is weird.
Yeah. I mean, it does change your personality when you get Brock Bat with the strange... process too, doesn't it?
Yeah,
people get, you know, people change all the time. I mean, Jim was a bounty hunter at one point this series, so.
that's fair.
Yeah. Also, the mystery of who shot the rocket launcher.
I'm pretty sure that's tied to Bane, because I mean, if they're going the way they are with No Man's Land, I mean, it's the idea that Bane is a master tactician as well, and I'm assuming he got a hold of a rocket launcher to shoot it down. So
that makes sense to me. I also think that we shouldn't rule Jeremiah out of the scenario either.
Also true.
True.
I did love, though, when, like, Jim was like, you shot the chopper. Oh, no, I didn't. And why would I lie?
Like, Penguin was like, well, yeah, like, and you're just going to tell me the truth? Like, well, I mean, obviously, yeah, you can't trust me, but then again, why would I lie about that? There's no law and order here to arrest me for any crimes. And I just admitted I'm going to steal this shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, told you.
there's not really any reason I would tell the truth about one thing and then lie about the other. It doesn't really make a lot of sense.
Yeah, no, he's that was really funny. But yeah, and then
also Harley Quinn shows up in the episode to write a little message on the map with the smiley face with the ha ha ha. And
do you think that's a coordinate kind of thing, like of the way it's arranged, or is it just them doing the ha ha and the funny arrangement?
It's hard to say.
It's hard to say because he did the thing before where he was gonna he mapped out the Gotham like a maze that was gonna blow up, but that ended up not happening.
Right.
So maybe this is a new plan, or is he claiming that all of Gotham will be mine?
Possibly.
Sort of thing.
Who knows at this point?
We also had the mysterious lady voice on the radio as well saying that there's people wanting to help them.
Do you think that person is legit?
I don't know.
I think they're a plant.
Yeah, I have no clue. That voice could be literally anybody at this point.
They said they're like, oh, they're allies from across the water. I'm like, bullshit. Those are people inside Gotham that are going to lead Jim astray at some point.
Possibly.
That are making moves against him.
Yeah.
Like that, because all of a sudden just some random guardian angel is going to show up outside and help Jim out. No. Nothing is ever that easy.
Jim is not that lucky.
Nothing is ever that easy in Gotham. No way. That is a trap, and I don't know, Admiral Akbar, what do you think?
Yeah. So
also, I may be a horrible person because in my notes I just have, wow, Tabby gets stabbied.
Tabby gets stabbied. Wow.
Tabby gets stabbied.
Well, you know, it's funny too. Just thinking about that, this was a fairly non-violent. Well, I mean, lots of people die still. It was not very bloody this episode. You know.
Well, no one got blown up with the rocket launcher. No True. Person got blown up with it.
Yeah.
So,
because like what I think like for total deaths this episode, one cop got killed by a scythe. Those guys got gunned down by the food, and then Tabitha. So
Tabitha, the helicopter pilots. I think a couple people got shot in the ensuing shootout with the Penguins guys.
Yeah. Okay, never mind. Lots of people died. You know,
the Lowtown guys all got killed.
Yeah, lots of people died this episode. Never mind.
you really figure like how many cops are left in Gotham? Like,
yeah. Well, at least like, I know we ask that
all the time, but for real, how many cops are there left in Gotham?
Well, like, but for the looks of it, it's like they're pretty like there may be like a handful of them, like a dozen. But then there's enough people.
Well, anytime they're in the police station, I count like maybe 20 to 30 guys only ever, like, and that's the max I ever see all at one time.
True.
But then like 10 people die an episode. So I feel like
we should be running low.
Yeah, there should be a lot less.
Yeah. That poor cop, too, where he's just like, oh, I see some shadows out there. Oh, did you see that out there? And he just gets gassed right in the face and chopped. Where you're just like, oof, jeez. But yeah, I think that's the most of this episode. I mean, so...
Well, the only thing I can say is that the end of this episode does kind of restate the world order where Barbara's going back to being crazy.
Well, right. Yeah, it's Barbara. She can only stay not crazy so long.
I am really curious how it's going to get to the point where Jim names his fucking daughter after Barbara.
So, okay,
how do they get there?
I wanted to ask you that. So, did you notice in the teaser trailers they've been showing around the episode that like they're showing scenes of them being like really like maybe not romantic, but being like kind of like emotional with each other? It's like, are they insinuating they're going to still try to get them back together after all this?
That'd be weird.
I'm assuming that it's going to be an emotional arc where they. Jim is kind of going to work up to forgiving her, but then she's going to die at the very end of this.
That would be the better option, for sure.
Because I feel like having Barbara do a complete 180 like that is really hard pill to swallow, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
Having her go far enough to do a final act of redemption or something, or work together with Jim to do another goal, that is not out of the realm of possibility. Mm-hmm. But to the point where they would end up together... That's a stretch.
Well, after everything that happened this show with her, yeah, that's way too much a stretch to believe. So,
we got to see Bruce fuck up again because he's still working out the kinks of the whole Batman thing with the night vision goggles.
Mm-hmm. Which, like, I like that.
I got this. Oh my god, the light.
It's
so bright.
Light.
It's so good.
Yeah, but again.
Well, just...
Go ahead.
Selina gets really cold with him too when she tries to commit suicide. Yeah. And she just goes like, you know, of all the bad shit I've ever done, being your friend was not what I thought would do me in. I was like,
well, that would have made more sense if he had not been there when she woke up, like he broke his promise.
Yeah, but she's still bitter, and I can kind of understand that.
Right, but I feel like they played that scene like he didn't, like he broke his promise.
Yeah.
But he didn't. He said, like, she said, stay with me, and that's what he did.
I mean, he probably wasn't there when she actually woke, so maybe he did kind of somewhat keep his promise, so...
But if they never left Gotham, he was still there. Right. Like they never, I don't know.
There's a little plot hole there.
I felt like that was a thing that they set up and didn't deliver on for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Like,
well, I mean, it's the whole thing too is that there was gonna have to be a way for them to be in the same area because if Bruce stayed there, so pretty much they had to introduce the whole thing with the witch because there's no way they were gonna fix Selina if she was out of the city. So,
well, I thought that she was going to leave for a while and then come back somehow in the last season halfway through and
but that's the thing is, like, she's got a severed spine. How else would she recover unless by some crazy magical means? So,
well, I mean, we didn't know she had a severed spine when she got shot.
She would never walk again in the end of last season. So,
did they?
Yeah.
I just thought she got shot.
Well, they said it severed her spine. It's like, yeah, if you sever your spine, there's really not much chance for you to recover past maybe getting a little bit of feeling in your toes.
Oh, well, I thought they were going to go to a special doctor and that they were going outside of Gotham to do the procedure. Like, but maybe I'm forgetting, I'm misremembering the last. But, you know, the feeling I got was that she was going to be left there and Bruce was going to be, you know, leave her to stay in his city and protect the city over her and make that choice. Mm-hmm. But he never really had to make that choice.
Yeah.
So I thought that was an interesting... Like they kind of walked that back. Like they did. Like, yeah, oh,
we don't actually want to make that decision.
Like, yeah, which I mean, maybe then it'll make Bruce not as a bad of a guy. I thought it was a interesting thing though. Like he ultimately like, no, I can't. As much as I love her, I gotta protect the city, sort of thing.
Which is pretty Batman-y.
The classic Batman style thing.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how this goes, but I'm curious where the season's going. I mean, so far, I mean, just initial impressions, I enjoy this episode overall. It didn't, like, blow me away, but it seems like they're definitely playing for the long con with this season. You know, like, get really building up to something big that happens at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I'm kind of torn because at one level, I wish they didn't show me the tease of that awesome thing in the beginning because nothing that awesome happens again in the episode.
Yeah, right. Actually, I kind of wish they didn't do that intro. Yeah, I totally agree, so...
But, like, it did hold my attention of, like, it does have me curious of how do they get there.
Right.
So,
like, how are we getting all these characters to work together?
I see why they did it, but I think they should have had the set piece at the end to have something a little more oomph in it.
Well, because even the Scarecrow fight was kind of like, meh, that was okay, kind of thing. Which, well, if you notice,
it's still... because Scarecrow, and Scarecrow's never going to be as cool as I want him to be in this show.
Well, especially because they replaced the actor with that new actor they got in the fourth season, so...
It doesn't matter. He's never... They keep replacing actors, and it's never... Like, they've kind of finally got it with Poison Ivy. They're not going to get it in time for Scarecrow.
Hmm. Yeah.
Also... The quicker we deal with Victor Freeze, I think the better we're off to.
They didn't. They basically said, like, and Firefly and Freeze are off somewhere doing things.
Just doing stuff, yeah.
We're not going to worry about them.
Actually, that would probably work for the best if they just get rid of them permanently in the show. Or just like, yeah, they've been so expendable, so.
I think Freeze is, like, the least interesting villain on the show.
Well, it's because they got rid of his main story.
Yeah, they got rid of anything that ever made him really interesting, and he's been boring ever since.
And they haven't really tried to make him more interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, like, they know the people who are their most important and interesting characters, so it's like, yeah, everyone else, whatever. So, but yeah.
I mean, I kind of did miss Butch. You know what? I did miss Butch this time
yeah,
around.
Yeah, Butch was fun.
Yeah, he was sorely missed, and at least it's like,
well, I even missed Solomon Grundy Butch. I miss that.
That would have been great to see Grundy just hanging out with them in this season. I just, well, we got the show what we got. And, you know, I enjoyed this overall. What do you guys think? Like, just overall impressions, what do you think about enjoying this episode or not?
I think this episode is fine. It's a startup episode. This is going to be a lot of build-up to get this season rolling, I think, because they're trying to piece together so many little things. So I think it was okay that this episode was a bit slower. It has me still pretty excited for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
It felt a little claustrophobic to me with No Man's Land, and especially where they were divvying up resources. I couldn't help but make the comparison to Mad Max Fury Road, where Penguin's basically in charge of Bullet Town. And so seeing that, I kind of wanted to see more bigger shots of where they were, except we're always in the same seven different sets of, like, here's Penguin's main room, and here's the sirens call, and here's the police station, and here's the warehouse that we're in. We never see a war spill over into the streets, and I feel like that should be the feeling we get of, like, this street war that's been going on for quite a while.
I'm sure they're building up to that more, because it feels like this isn't really a war yet. It's just a fight for survival building up to the war. So.
Well, I also feel like that's the same sense of what we always say about Gotham, is Gotham is the biggest city that's made out of, like, seven square blocks.
And,
like,
somehow everyone knows everybody in that same square block, so...
Right.
So, like, I think that's also a problem, is wherever they're shooting it, I don't think they can shoot enough wide locations to where it never feels as big as it should, I think.
Yeah, there's, like, it's like GCPD's here, and there's a Walmart, and then there's Penguin's house.
When they all go to the helicopter and everyone gets there at the same time, it's like, how are you all one block away from everything? Yeah. Like, it's a fucking nexus of the universe. You can't all be the same distance away from everything.
It's like, sir, how can we cordon off Gotham? It's like a block wide, dude. Of course we can cordon off Gotham. It's easy.
I'm surprised they even drove cars there. Can't you just take a quick run to every location?
To be fair on that part, Penguin likes to be a little extra.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just drive me there. It's a block, sir. Drive me there.
All right, yeah. So, I mean, that's the gist of what I got to say for this episode. I think I'm still excited. So, next week's episode, which will premiere, yeah, January 10th, for people who are listening here, is the episode Trespassers, which I'm interested to see where that goes. But, yeah, that's
ooh, that shitty Nicolas Cage movie?
Exactly.
You're welcome, all three people that watched that straight-to-DVD movie and are now laughing.
Dude, if Nicolas Cage would be perfect for this universe, just saying, man. If you could bring in a Nicolas Cage villain or something like that, I would watch that, totally. But, yeah, thank you guys very much for being a part of this, Nick and Travis. Where can they find you guys?
Well, you can find me at the new site I'm going to build, Kickstarter, Make Nicolas Cage Bane, which is going to be great. I was wondering what would break first, your spirit or your body?
Oh, definitely my spirit. Definitely my spirit.
But if I'm not over there without all that's under construction, you can find me at Nick Tice, T-H-Y-E-S, over on Facebook or Twitter. You can check us out on the Unapologetic Geek Out podcast or UGO podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. You can also check us out for Pod Against Evil, our Sin Against Evil podcast, or our movie review podcast, Netflix and Kill.
Are we doing too many podcasts?
Killer movies on Netflix. Nonsense. Travis, I just announced we're going to do 3 more podcasts.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Hey, dude, you have to edit them. Don't look at me.
But that's what we're doing when we're not getting ham. So
yeah, and we have got the ham this week, but tune in next week for when we talk about Trespassers and all kinds of other craziness that happens on this awesome and silly show. So thank you guys. See ya.